This Thursday, six of Iowa's finest chefs will square off in Iowa Public Radio's second Battle of the Chefs. Today, we'll get to know the chefs and hear their stories. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On Thursday, guests at the Battle of the Chefs at West End Salvage in Des Moines will get to taste offerings from six different Iowa chefs and vote on the winner. This hour, I'll talk with the chefs. Lisa Laval of Trellis, Eric Bill of Hawk, Kamal Hamuda of Relish in Grinnell, Joe Tripp of Alba, Nick Ganwa of Eatery A, and returning champion Sam Owen of Tacopocalypse. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. This Thursday, Iowa Public Radio is holding its second Battle of the Chefs at West End Salvage in Des Moines. Six gifted Iowa chefs will create a small dish. Guests will sample each one and in the end, vote for the winner. Tickets are still available. You can go to iowapublicradio.org and click on the events tab to find out more. You can also follow the link on our Facebook page or on Twitter at IPR Talk. And throughout the hour, I'll be talking to each one of the chefs who will be competing in the Battle of the Chefs. But we'd also love to hear your thoughts about the evolution of cuisine in Iowa. Tell us about some of your favorite developments or some surprises and get us outside of Des Moines. Most of these chefs hail from Des Moines because of where the event is taking place, but we'd love to hear about surprises in other corners of the state as well. So you can join us by email, talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. You can tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can post on our Facebook page, Iowa Public Radio. And now it's time to meet the chefs. First up, Lisa Laval of Trellis at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. Hello, Lisa.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And this whole hour, we're going to talk about how everybody got started cooking. And for you, this was something that you kind of had to do out of necessity when you were a kid, right?
Yes, I did. It was a good necessity because my father didn't like to cook much. My mom passed away, and I had two brothers, and they are like the best audience you could ever have. So even my disasters, they would eat. And so with all this positive feedback, I rarely got discouraged. And it just kind of continued all through high school and college. I ventured out on a couple other career paths, but the restaurant and the cooking just kept bringing me back.
Now, I think when you say your brothers were appreciative, a lot of us are sisters and don't always think about brothers as being appreciative and supportive. Why do you think that was such a good relationship with you in the kitchen?
Well, because for a period of a couple years, we were eating my dad's cooking, and it was not really he's an artist, but not he didn't care about cooking. He'd much care about visiting museums. And so when I offered to take on the cooking job, and you know, slowly I didn't burn the jello, you know, they just were happy to have a full tummy, and they really were just great guys to appreciate me.
How did you learn to cook, given that your dad wasn't necessarily the best teacher in that category?
Well, I had wonderful grandmothers, and some other really close family friends, and we all liked to eat, and a lot of them were well-traveled and well-schooled, and so I got to help out, and then I got to help at Strawtown Inn in Pella in the old days, and helped cooking there, and then just through college, when I would get restaurant jobs, I'd work out front and wait tables and bartend, but I'd always like to go back to the kitchen, and lots of places would let me do both.
And as you got older and traveled a little bit yourself, were you inspired by some other far-flung flavors that you found?
Oh, most definitely. I was lucky enough to grow up with my father being an archaeologist, art historian for the Maya, and the Maya Indians in Yucatan were his specialty. So we would spend probably about 3 months every winter down in the Yucatan Peninsula, and their cooking and their food, and it was an amazing experience to go from a grocery store that had basically oranges and Granny Smith apples to a place with just fruit falling off the trees and spices that we'd never seen in central Iowa in the 60s.
So you loved to cook and experiment in the kitchen, but that wasn't the direction that you were headed in as far as a career for a while, right?
No, I thought I'd end up being a teacher like my parents, and I went through the whole schooling and enjoyed that. And then at the end, you know, you do your student teaching, and I don't know, I got locked in the supply closet.
Oh,
and
no.
Just, oh, it was all fun, but I just would look at the clock on the wall, and it didn't seem to move so fast. But I was back in the restaurant cooking and such, the, you know, an eight-hour shift would be gone before I even could even think about it. So I just kind of drifted back once again to the restaurant.
And Trellis has now been open almost a year. You celebrate your one-year anniversary in December, right?
That's correct, early December.
And what are some of your other restaurant experiences prior to opening your own cafe at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Center?
Well, I'd worked in restaurants in New York City and Western Massachusetts, a couple places in Colorado and Northern California, just as a part of just kind of drifting around and trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grow up. And then I was lucky enough to end up at the Des Moines Art Center and ran the cafe there for almost 21 years. And so that really, just by getting up every morning and going to work, I realized, hey, you know, maybe this is what I want to be when I grow up. And it was a wonderful evolution how the community sort of started to enjoy the fact that we were trying to do a little bit different kind of food, but they'd say, okay, we trust you, so we'll try this crazy new whatever it might have been that we decided to try. But I, you know, it's a relationship, and that's partly, I think, why restaurants are popular, is people cultivate a relationship not only with their mouth and their palate, but, you know, it's more than just putting food in your belly. And I think that's what makes it so attractive.
And with Trellis, you were given kind of a blank slate when you put the restaurant together. Can you tell me a little bit about the philosophy?
Yes, that it was a remarkable opportunity. So, yes, we were given basically the box, and we got to decide where to put the kitchen wall and where to put the doors But the philosophy, I think, was always to keep it, something sort of indigenous to Iowa as much as we can. We're thinking about the plant world because we're in the middle of a botanical garden. And, for instance, the guys, the horticulture guys will bring us fresh lemongrass, something I never thought I would be just given when it's time to change out a display. We got just piles of basil and some pineapple sage, some beautiful things I've never heard of or seen before. And so that's where we kind of kept the philosophy as well. What do we have that's wonderful to use here? And then just, once again, just kind of stay creative, but stay fresh and local when we can.
Well, and you're talking about fresh and local. That's really fresh and local, yeah. If it's in the building.
That's right. That's right. I guess I can brag on that one note. But in any case, it was special. It was a treat.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm talking with Lisa Laval. She is the chef at Trellis at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. I want to bring Eric Bill into the conversation now of Hawk in Des Moines. Hi, Eric.
Hi.
Thank you so much for being here today.
Ah, thanks for having me.
And now you also started cooking, you say out of necessity, but just because you didn't like your mom's cooking?
Yeah, my mom made a few things that were actually good, and that was lasagna and what she called a goulash, which really isn't a goulash.
We know what it's Iowa goulash.
Probably. Oh, yeah.
We know what that is.
She had those, and those are good. Those still are good, but now she's become a little bit better with her cooking and a little more adventurous.
So did she guide you in the kitchen, or was that somewhere No. you just went on your own?
No, not at all, really. Like I said, I played with flavors because I kind of liked how things tasted, and I kind of screwed with those when I was a little kid early.
And where did the idea of going into the restaurant business come from for you?
Well, when I was looking through DMAC for some courses to go through, I saw the culinary arts thing, and I worked at my uncle's bar in the back a little bit with him, and I kind of liked what was going on back there and kind of had fun doing it and just kind of realized, like, hey, I can take it right here close to me and see how this goes, and had some fun with it and decided to run with it.
So tell me a little bit about your trajectory from your uncle's bar. Where did you go?
Actually, I was at Blank Golf Course doing some groundskeeping for a while I was going through culinary school through DMAC and ICI. I guess it wasn't ICI then. And
then just moved into the Des Moines.
Yep, got a job at a place called Basil's Prosperi. It used to be down on Locust and 5th, I believe it is, and had fun doing that with a friend of mine, Ben Hayes. Made some really, really good food there, and then moved on to Sheridan in West Des Moines. Just line cooking there and had some fun doing that, and bounced around, went to Embassy Suites, Jimmy's American Cafe for a little bit, and then they closed down, and had a lot of fun working with a good friend of mine, Anthony Johnson at Mojo's. We made awesome food together there. Really great guy to work with.
The Hawk has a philosophy of really, really showcasing local foods, a lot of farm-to-table experiences at Hawk. Can you give me an idea of some of the things that you love to have access to because we are in Iowa?
Tomatoes, when they're in season, get beautiful tomatoes from a farmer that are just amazing. Just off the vine not too long ago, I mean, there's still a little sap running out of the stem end where it's been picked, still dusty from the field. Pork, I have some of probably the best pork I've had in a long time sitting in my freezer at home, actually, from Timber Ridge. Just beautiful breed of pork. The fat is just unctuous and soft.
What are your favorite things to cook with?
That'd have to be pork is one of my favorite things to cook with. That and duck or anything type of wild game. I really enjoy doing that.
And you really enjoy cultures and things like that, too,
yes,
right?
Anything that I like to call it living food. Not actually like living and breathing, but I guess it kind of is. You have like a dry cured meat, cheeses, yogurts, things along those lines. All just, I mean, it's alive, it's growing, it's developing flavor, basically as it controls in a controlled rotting, basically, I guess.
Right. Well, and you're doing a sauerkraut experiment right now at home?
At home I have sauerkraut and I also have apple cider vinegar going.
Nice.
From some peelings of some fresh apples, just some cores and the peelings and some water, brown sugar, and molasses.
Well, this hour we're talking with the chefs who are going to be competing at Iowa Public Radio's Battle of the Chefs on Thursday at West End Salvage in Des Moines. I've been talking so far with Lisa Laval of Trellis at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden and Eric Bill of Hawk in Des Moines. I'll visit with them a little bit more, then we'll move on and talk to Kamal Hamuda of Relish in Grinnell. We'd love to hear from you this hour as well. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org, tweet us at IPR Talk, or you can post on our Facebook page. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. On Thursday, Iowa Public Radio is holding its second Battle of the Chefs at West End Salvage in Des Moines. There are still tickets available to the event. You can find out more at iowapublicradio.org. Just click on the events tab. You can also go to our Facebook page and follow the link. You can find the link on Twitter at IPR Talk. We would love to see you there. And this hour, we are talking with the chefs who will be cooking at that event on Thursday. I've been talking with Eric Bill of Hawk in Des Moines and Lisa Laval of Trellis at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. And Lisa, Eric and I were just talking about some of the great foods that he can cook with because he's in Iowa. And you also go outside the Botanical Center to look for local foods as well. What are some of the things that you've found that make searching out those kinds of foods a little bit easier? Because developing all of those relationships and searching out foods while you're also being the chef and running a restaurant must be really challenging.
It is, but it's gotten so much better in the last 10 or 20 years. Like, for instance, now I can get wonderful salad greens from Lee's Greens, and they grow them, I think, near Nevada, and they're just fabulous. And all the variety of apples that are now available are just wonderful. I love sweet corn that we can get. There's a some people called Iowa Choice Harvest that will go around and harvest these very Iowa products and then freeze them. And so you can have them all year and process them properly. And so you're basically just getting corn or peeled diced apples. And just recently they were offering me aronia berries. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. Well, and I have wondered, I mean, it's not difficult to focus on local foods during the growing season and during harvest. But the idea of trying to take that throughout the year, obviously our long, cold winters can be really challenging here in Iowa.
That's so true. And that's why I was delighted when those people contacted me. I think they're from Marshalltown and they go all over and harvest this food when it's right at its peak. And so so thank goodness somebody is addressing that issue about the long, cold winters. And we can't just eat cabbage and potatoes all winter long.
No, we've done that. We've done that for centuries, right? So, Lisa, have you ever done anything like this before, competed?
I think yes, but this one's a little bigger. This one's pretty exciting, and you know, it's a great thing to win. But I guess maybe it's just me personally. I don't want to think of it as that much of a competition.
Right.
I was telling the guys, you know, I don't plan on battling much Thursday night. I plan on, you know, having a nice craft beer and tasting some food. And obviously we know what the real goal is with this. And so I hope you sell out on your tickets and everybody has a great time. And if Trellis gets some free advertising out of it, that'd be great too.
I won't ask you to tell us what you're making because I think that that should be a surprise on Thursday. But cooking in this way, and Eric, I want to hear what you're thinking about too, where you're making something small, but you're serving it to so many individuals. And of course, you're not going to be in your own kitchen. You won't have all of the resources that you normally have. Is it difficult to prepare for something like this, Lisa?
It kind of is, but I've always been a fan of picnic food and the kind of food that you can just eat with your hands. And so that's kind of how I approach it. Some of that's my favorite kind of thing. So I'm just going to serve something that you can just take, eat with your hands, have a couple bites of it, and hopefully it'll go good with a little beer or wine. And I'm just not trying to create like the most grandiose thing I've ever done. It'll be simple, but hopefully it'll be good and easy to eat and facilitate, you know, conversation and camaraderie.
Eric, how about you?
I just like making something nice and warm and delicious. It's getting cold out here, so figure make a nice something tasty and easy to kind of get out there.
Yep, that makes sense. It's a good strategy. All right, well, I'm going to let the two of you go. I'll see both of you on Thursday night. Eric, Bill, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Eric, Bill of Hawk in Des Moines. Lisa Laval, thank you.
Thank you.
Lisa Laval, the chef at Trellis at the Greater Des Moines Botanical Garden. And with me now is the one chef who's going to be there on Thursday night who's not in the Des Moines area, Kamal Hamuda of Relish in Grinnell. Hello, Kamal.
Hello, Jerry.
Thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Now, I know that you were born in Egypt. When did you start cooking?
Oh, when I was in my teens. It was out of necessity.
What led you into the kitchen?
My oldest sister, she pushed me into the kitchen because it was only her and I still in the house in the summer when my mother was sick, and she didn't feel like cooking all the time.
So your older sister didn't want to do it all by herself?
That's right.
Did she teach you how to do things or tell you what to do? How did that evolve into something that you actually enjoyed doing?
That I'm not quite sure I can even remember. All that I remember is she insisted that I go into the kitchen and prepare if I want to eat. So that's what I started to do, and I started playing with the food.
And before you came to the United States, you went to London, and food was what you focused on there too, right?
Well, actually, food is what I focused on as a means to survive. I got a job in a restaurant by pure accident, and I was lucky. The general manager was a great chef in his own right, and he mentored me.
Did you decide then that this was something you wanted to do with your life?
By the time I was done with England and emigrated to the United States, I knew that I don't want to be in the kitchen again.
Really? you had given it up?
Well, it's a hard life. You know, you work when people are having fun, and you relax when nobody's around.
Right.
So it's not the best way to make a living, really.
So you came here to be an engineer, right?
That's right.
So how did you wind up back in the restaurant business?
Oh, my senior year, I dropped out, and I was drifting, and a friend of mine who just dragged me along for dinner, and he was a strategic business consultant, and after a couple of dinners, he said, Kamal, you should open a restaurant. And I'm looking at him like he's from the moon, and I do enjoy cooking. I do enjoy entertaining people. I love to see their faces when they enjoy something or looking at me like, what on earth did you just do that? So I went back into the kitchen where I ended up and worked my way out of it. And I finally opened the first restaurant in Grinnell in 92.
And that first restaurant was The Last Egyptian?
That's correct.
And what was your focus then?
Basically Mediterranean cuisine, just the flavors, not a specific country. That's what I grew up with, and I love Italian, I love Greek, and North Africa is all in the Mediterranean, so that's what I focused on, and the reason I loved it is it was always using fresh ingredient and whatever is available around you.
Now, you've really been through the ringer. I mean, you lost your lease on that restaurant in 94, so only a couple of years after you opened it, and then you opened Cafe Phoenix in 95. It seems like a lot of people were pushing you in this direction repeatedly.
Yeah, especially my current customers who insisted on keeping me in Grinnell after I lost the lease in 94.
Good for them.
Well, yeah, I suppose it depends on what day you ask me that.
So what was the focus at Cafe Phoenix?
Same thing, Mediterranean, local food. I remember going to the farmer's market in Grinnell and picking up a whole tray of whatever they have, and they're looking at me like, do you have a big family? No, I work in the restaurant. You mean you're going to use our food in the restaurant? And that was back in 92, 93, 94, and people just weren't aware of why people should use local food.
Really? So you were really at the forefront of this movement?
I'd like to think so.
Maybe you started it.
Oh, I doubt that very much. There are a lot more important people than me that started that.
So why was it important to you then? I mean, now, now I know that it's important to a lot of chefs for a lot of reasons, although also having that on your menu makes a difference to a lot of customers. But then it probably wasn't as much of a selling point. Why was it so important to you?
I grew up with going to the market to pick up our own food and bringing it back home for my mother to cook. And when I started working in restaurants, I realized that a lot of the produce coming off the truck just didn't have the right flavor. So that's why I reverted back to my old nature and started going to the markets and picking up myself what I need. It was just natural progression from where I grew up.
Now, you rebranded your restaurant back in 2012.
That's correct.
And why did you want to make a change? That's when it became Relish.
We were going to move to another location, a bigger location, and the lease just didn't work out. So we owned the building, and we figured we might as well use it since we haven't even considered renting it yet. That's really the only reason of the change. And I wanted to change the format that we use. Now I change the menu every three to 4 months. Not complete change, just one item out of every category gets dropped out and a new item added in. Just keep the menu current and keep it fresh.
Do you rotate things back in, or do you always try to come up with something new?
So far in the 2.5 years I've been doing it, always coming up with something new.
Why do you do that?
To keep me challenged, to keep me fresh, to keep me on my toes.
And where do you get your ideas? I mean, you've made a lot of different things. That must be difficult to come up with something that you love enough that you want it to be on your menu.
Oh, you just play with food. I mean, that's the fun of being a chef. I really don't, you know, if people leave me alone in the kitchen, I'll be a very happy camper. But, you know, it doesn't work this way in real life. But on occasions, I'm alone in the kitchen and I'm just experimenting with whatever I have in the fridge on the back on the pantry. Just come up with idea. You read. I go online and read many things I haven't done yet. For instance, sourdough bread. I've never experimented with it. It just scares the living day out of me. I don't know.
Really?
Well, you know, you have to keep the batch always fed. You
right, use the some starter going.
The
right.
starter going, and it's just, I haven't wrapped my mind around it. But
so can you describe for me a dish that you've recently added to your menu?
Let's see. Well, one of the challenges I have is because I buy my beef locally. I buy a whole beef at a time. So the biggest challenge is what do I do with all this ground beef, because most of the beef is really ground beef, about 70% of it. So I'm trying to always experiment with doing things with ground beef. So one of the ideas was, okay, I do beef Wellington, so how about if I do burger Wellington? And that seemed to go over very well. Another idea is to do burger de burgo instead of steak de burgo, using the ground beef I have as faster than usual, and also giving people a tasty dish at a much lower price range.
You described your early relationship with the farmers market and getting local foods. What is your relationship like with local producers now?
It's even much better. I have couple of farmers come to me every fall. I mean, I anticipate them coming in the next few weeks, asking me what I want them to grow for me for next season.
Really? So they are catering to you?
Well, since when they are in the farmers market, people will come and buy a pound here, a pound there, a bunch of this, a bunch of that, and I buy a bushel of this, a bushel of that. So yeah, many of them really start to recognize that. It's worth their while to come and ask me, especially since eventually people would buy what they have. And in the past, I used to do farmers market demo, where I come and get the stuff from the farmers and bring my grill and just demonstrate to the people how to use the food and how easy it is to prepare it. So that helps their sale also.
So with always putting new items on your menu, you must have to drop things that people love. And I've heard that you had a really hard time. You tried to drop something called vegetable Wellington?
That's correct.
What happened?
I got a riot on my dining room.
A riot.
When people didn't find it, because it has its really diehard. I have one customer that every time she comes, I tease her that I don't have it anymore. And she just looks at me askance and, you know, but I always have it for her. but that's, you know, people get attached to what they like.
That is not a bad problem to have in your business.
No, that's very true.
So with your sort of mixed emotions about going into the restaurant business in the first place, and it is a tough life. It's a tough way to make money. I think a lot of people romanticize it, but the hours are hard, the work is hard, and it doesn't always make money. Where do you find joy in your work now?
Sometimes I ask that myself. In creating new things, really. And the joy I find mostly is when people enjoy what I introduce new to them, or people give me honest feedback. Most of them are afraid to hurt my feeling. In this business, you grow very thick skin to learn and to move on. But the real joy is when people enjoy what I do.
And does being in Grinnell give you a kind of unique opportunity to have a relationship your customers?
Very much so. Especially today, I'm wondering what am I doing in the middle of all these great chefs from Des Moines. Sometimes it feels like I'm in the boonies, but Grinnell really have, a lot of the customers have very sophisticated tastes. Many of them are very well traveled, so they have eaten all over the world, if not. So it's very gratifying to see that they enjoy what I do, and that's what really keeps me going.
Well, and I'm sure that there are people who travel to Grinnell for your food as well.
I like to think so. I know a few of them that come, and lately I've been getting quite a few people coming, families or friends meeting between Iowa City and Des Moines and Cedar Rapids and just meeting in Grinnell.
So we only have a minute left before we get to a break, and I need to say goodbye to you. But I don't want you to tell us what you're making on Thursday, but can you give us a hint?
Given the distance I have to travel, I decided to do a cold dish.
Okay. what a hint.
Yes.
Well, I'm excited to meet you and excited to eat whatever you're bringing, Kamal.
Well, I hope you can.
All right. Thank you very much. Kamal Hamuda is the chef at Relish in Grinnell. This hour, we are getting a preview of Iowa Public Radio's second Battle of the Chefs. It's coming up on Thursday at West End Salvage in Des Moines. Six gifted Iowa chefs will each create a small dish. The guests get an opportunity to sample each one of the dishes and then vote for the winner. And there are still tickets available for the event. You can find out more on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Just click on the events tab. You can also find a link on our Facebook page. You can find the link on Twitter as well. We would love to see you there. We'd love to hear from you as well this hour. If you have some favorite restaurants that you'd like to tell us about all around the state of Iowa, you can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Coming up in just a moment, I'll talk with Joe Tripp of Alba in Des Moines and Nick Gonwa of Eatery A in Des Moines, and also a chat with our returning champion, Sam Allen of Tacopocalypse in Des Moines. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're getting a preview of Iowa Public Radio's Battle of the Chefs that's coming up on Thursday. We're talking with all six of the chefs who will be competing or participating in our Battle of the Chefs on Thursday. We're also hearing from people around the state of Iowa. This is from Twitter. It says that Zach Gutweiler is a chef that moved from Austin, Colorado. He runs Hole in the Wall at the Gas Lamp and is a culinary master. We also heard from S. Snow, who says, I'm a regular at Relish and Hawk. Even the mixed drinks and the desserts at Relish are made with herbs from the garden right outside. At Hawk, the fermented and pickled items are amazing. Who would have ever thought of pickling strawberries? So some exciting things happening in food in Iowa. We'd love to hear your thoughts. You can tweet us at IPR Talk. You can also send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org or post on our Facebook page. And joining me next is Joe Tripp of Alba in Des Moines. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. And how did you get started cooking?
I started cooking because I grew up with quite a lucky past of food in my family. My parents traveled with me a lot and took me out to a lot of nice restaurants, and my dad was actually a pretty heavy home cook. And when I started in college, I didn't know how to do anything, and I missed that food, and it just started from there. I started teaching myself how to cook and picked up some gigs while I was going through University of Iowa, and honestly never looked back.
So you enjoyed the food that was available in your family, but you didn't spend much time in the kitchen as a kid?
Oh, no. My mom would never let me. I would burn the house down if she... It was awful.
So did she try to talk you through stuff while you were away at school? Were you always calling home for advice?
No, never. My dad was the kind of guy that, subscribed to Bon Appetit and all those food magazines, and he would always just try new things out of that. And I took a page from that book. When I got out of the dorms, I decided to just pick up a subscription and started playing with food and never repeated what I made. And, you know, I started learning how various things all had things in common. You know, I started learning technique instead of recipes, and that was probably the most beneficial thing for it, was just learning how to cook instead of learning how to follow a recipe. I started seeing all the things that connect the recipes together.
Now, you decided to go to culinary school, but then your plans changed, right?
Yeah, I was going to go out to Denver to go to culinary school, out to Johnson and Wales. And I had looked up a chef that I really wanted to work for. Actually, one of my bosses at the University of Iowa told me it wasn't food related, but he always told me to find somebody who was doing what I wanted to do and search that person out. And so I found this chef named Alex Seidel out in Denver. And I walked into his restaurant in my first week there and said, you know, when it's time for me to do my internship, I would really like to do that at your restaurant. And he said, well, why go to culinary school? Why don't you just start working with me? And that was kind of the start of that. I started at the very bottom, and he taught me how to cook.
Now, when you looked at him, you said you were looking for somebody who was doing what you wanted to do. Can you try to summarize that for us? What is it that you really wanted to do and hope to do in the future?
Well, at the time, Alex owned a very small restaurant in Denver called Fruition. Only had about 40 seats. It didn't do a lot of covers, but it focused on the details. But he was also known, he had been cooking around Denver for a little while, and he was known for, using great product, using local product. Little did I know that would expand, and after working for him for about 6 months, he was given a Food and Wine Top 10 Chef in 2012, and then we opened a farm as a restaurant, and that was a really interesting process. We started growing our own vegetables and microgreens, and then we got sheep, and we started making sheep's milk cheeses.
Wow.
Started raising pork and bees. I mean, as far as an experience for a young cook, I couldn't have asked for a better entrance into the food scene.
And what brought you back to Des Moines?
This is where I'm from. Ultimately, it's where I've always wanted to own my own restaurant. I had been cooking for Alex for a number of years, and I decided it was time to go somewhere else. And I came back home where I want to be, so I could kind of grow some roots here and start developing as myself instead of somebody else's cook.
And what makes Alba a good fit for you?
Alba's great for me. Jason Simon, the owner's, treated me very well. He lets me do whatever I want to do, and that's something that as a young cook you don't get a lot of. When I first started cooking at Alba, I think I was putting out a lot of Alex's food and a lot of food that I've done out in other restaurants, and because of the creative freedom that I get out there, I get to do, I get to develop my own voice and find myself as a chef instead of putting out somebody else's food. And that's a very important part of the process, I think.
Well, and I want to bring Nick Gonwa into the conversation as well of Eatery A in Des Moines. Hi, Nick.
Hey, how are you?
Great. And now you and Joe actually worked together for a while?
Yeah, we did.
So you were at Alba when Joe got there, and then he kind of took over for you as you left?
Yeah. He came in and we worked together for a little over a year, and Jason and I then kind of got Eatery up and running off the ground, and that's where I've been since.
So tell me a little bit about Eatery A and what this idea was for you, because I know that this was this is kind of a culmination of a dream, isn't it?
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. It kind of we almost built the restaurant around this wood burning oven that Jason picked up, and that's kind of where the idea came from, that we really wanted to do this hand tossed pizza, this nice pizza, and so the restaurant really built around that to be the focal point and the centerpiece. And then along with that, we wanted to kind of do Mediterranean, but in a way that Des Moines hasn't necessarily seen it before, bringing in different influences. Like Kamal had said, North Africa is part of the Mediterranean that, Des Moines hasn't really had a lot of exposure to. So we've been having a lot of fun bringing in new and interesting flavor profiles.
Now, when did you start cooking?
It was something that I've always kind of done that was always an interest of mine and a hobby growing up. Both of my parents cooked all the time and really loved to cook and try new things. So, it was always on the weekends. In the morning, my dad would be making pie dough from scratch and my mom would be making biscuits. And it was just always around. And so I really absorbed a lot through them and really kind of cultivated it through high school as just playing around myself and cooking for friends and with friends, which was, a great thing to do, especially, using fresh things out of the garden and things, and with my parents always having all of the kind of fun utensils to play with. There was always the equipment that we needed to do really whatever we wanted to experiment with. And then always worked in the industry as well. There's just this energy in the restaurant industry, when you get a lot of passionate people together working in long hours and a high speed kind of industry, it just, the energy is like, you can't get away from it. Once you kind of get a taste for it, it just keeps bringing you back.
Although you did plan to get away from it because you studied sports medicine and physical therapy?
Yeah, that was a route that I thought I might want to go because it's another kind of thing that I was passionate about. But, you know, it just – it ended up not really being my thing. And looking back, you know, this makes so much sense because it's that whole thing. You want to find something that you love to do. And this was it. This has always been what it was, what I wanted to do, what I loved to do. It just kind of – I think took getting away from it for a bit to realize how much it really meant to me.
Now, it's funny that you talk about your parents encouraging you to get into this business. I think a lot of parents say, do something more practical than get into the restaurant business. Why were they so encouraging?
Because, you know, I mean, I think with them, they realize the importance of doing something that you're passionate about doing, something that you really love to do, because, I mean, it's so much more rewarding, you know, in the long run to do something that you love, and, you know, why do anything else?
So Joe and Nick, since the two of you worked together at Alba, and you're both really involved in this Des Moines restaurant scene, can you give me an idea of how you've seen things evolving in Des Moines? Because Des Moines has such a very exciting and vibrant restaurant scene right now. Joe?
You know, yeah, I always see Des Moines evolving as far as restaurants go, but it's so much more than just the restaurants. It's the farms and the products we put out and the availability that's starting to become a little bit more prominent in our area. You know, when I was working out in Colorado, I would see a lot of Iowa product out there. And I've been out in California and seen the same thing just on visits out there. And a lot of stuff that wasn't really available to us as Des Moines chefs. And I'm starting to see some of these farmers and producers. One guy comes to mind is Steve DeBruin, whose rabbits we use at the restaurant. Great product that wasn't really, you know, they made a little bit more money shipping it out, I think, than and didn't really have the demand for it. And I think that product is starting to be something that our clientele is looking for.
Now, I've asked for people to share their suggestions for things outside of Des Moines that are exciting right now, too. And we have a recommendation from Samantha, who called from San Diego, who says that she recommends Rachel Souter of Palisades Cafe in Mount Vernon. And that's the restaurant that went into the space that the Lincoln Cafe used to be in. And she says it has really great specials, all fresh, local, seasonal ingredients, and makes them really interesting and different than you would expect. So one of those surprises in culinary cuisine in the state of Iowa. And Joe and Nick, stay with me, but I also want to bring our returning champion back into the conversation. Sam Owen is here from Tacopocalypse in Des Moines. Hi, Sam.
Hey, Charity. How are you doing?
Very good. Thanks for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And so being the returning champion, I suppose there's just a lot of respect, a lot of gravitas when you walk into the room, right?
Oh, yeah, tons. It was almost overwhelming.
So remind us what you made for the Battle of the Chefs last spring.
I should have taken notes on this. We made a it was – I'm going to use this phrase I don't really like to use, but it was kind of a play on something or other. It was a kind of a potato tortilla with some lemongrass braised pork belly. What else do we do? There were some pickled things in there. There was a sauce.
All right.
I have a really good memory. Thank you.
So thank you so much for participating again. Coming back, does that put a lot of pressure on you?
You know, I thought it would put a little bit more pressure, but I sat down and came up with our dish in like 5 minutes. And we just happened to get in some really interesting products. So I was like, oh, okay, well, there goes the pressure. Now we just have to make it. No big deal.
And is that challenging to be in that kind of space and bring something that, of course, you want it to be fresh and taste like you just made it, but you don't have access to a full kitchen?
Right. Well, it's challenging, but, you know, my whole business kind of came from operating in a mobile situation. So, you know, I'm no stranger to using guerrilla warfare in the kitchen.
So we were talking about the Des Moines restaurant scene. You're a big part of that. Sam, how do you see the evolution right now, not just in Des Moines, but in Iowa, of food?
Des Moines, you know, I've been here for about 12 years, and I've watched it go from being kind of, okay, there's a couple places to eat, to now I'm, like, overwhelmed. Like, I'm one of those people who has to keep track, like, well, I haven't been here yet. And that's the kind of problem that you want to have. Like, they're all places I want to go. It's not just, you know, a field of chains popping up. It's, you know, Eatery A coming up, and there are a couple other places in town that have popped up that I really want to get to, and they're doing things right. As far as like the whole Iowa scene, you know, I have some experience in other towns in Iowa, and I've seen some of their spots, a few closings. It was sad to see Lincoln Cafe go, but I'm interested to go back to Mount Vernon and see what's popped up in its place. Thanks to the San Diego listener who said that we should go there. But I do see a focus, like even in my hometown, Denison, Iowa, we have a taco truck now, and it's good. It's really good. There's a ton of agriculture in our state, and because of the internet and television, there's a lot of exposure, and people have been slow on the uptake as far as getting things started. But like the rural areas of Iowa are really coming up food-wise.
Now, of course, in the Des Moines area, you've got to have good demand for all of these new restaurants. But Nick, with so many great restaurants in Des Moines, being involved in something new, is that a little bit scary right now?
No, actually, it's exciting. I mean, I think that, you know, with what Des Moines has going on, everybody is just really excited about food and excited about new things and really interested to try a lot more than they would have been 10 years ago. And I think you see that with all of these new restaurants springing up where you have great new interesting things like people down at doing the New World Cafe where they're doing a lot of different things that Des Moines never would have had before and getting great responses. I think the buzz is out there about food in Des Moines now.
And it feels like the possibilities are a little broader than they used to be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you think that the emphasis on local foods, and Joe, I'll let you weigh in on this, the awareness of local foods and the emphasis on local foods, do you think that that has opened up more opportunities for restaurants to connect with people in Iowa?
I think it's an important thing to have the local food. I think it's, you know, definitely like you mentioned earlier, it's a selling point on our menus. But ultimately, the whole reason to use local food is it just tastes better. It makes our job that much easier. You know, I don't have to do too much to a tomato that's already delicious, or I don't have to do too much to a rabbit that was raised properly versus, you know, some subpar stuff that we used to be able to get back a while ago before demand was there for using this local product. It just makes our food, takes it to another level.
And are you ready for Thursday?
I am ready for Thursday. I'm excited about it.
All right. How about you, Nick?
Oh, yeah.
You can't say anything else, though.
No.
Especially with Sam sitting right there, right?
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't give away your secrets.
Got to keep him sweating.
Right. I came up with mine in 5 minutes, says Sam.
It was just a fortuitous oddity that happened. Honestly, like we just happened to receive some strange things we wouldn't normally get from a friend, and it was like, oh we have just enough for that. The competition next week.
Well, perfect. Sam, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Sam Allen of Tacopocalypse. Joe, thank you.
Thank you.
Joe Tripp of Alba in Des Moines. And Nick, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Nick Ganwa of Eatery A in Des Moines. Battle of the Chefs is coming up on Thursday at West End Salvage in Des Moines. You can be a part of it. You can find out more at iowapublicradio.org. Click on our events tab. You can also find more on our Facebook page or in our Twitter feed at IPR Talk as well. Talk of Iowa is produced by Claire Roth, Dennis Reese, Emily Woodbury, and Lindsay Moon. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. Technical support from John Pemble today. The polls are open. Get out there and vote. And, of course, tune into Iowa Public Radio this evening for election coverage and tomorrow morning on Morning Edition as well. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe.